Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shana Gimel, Perek Gimel. Last time we left off that the Nefesh HaChaim asked the question, why is it that he's discussing these matters which the sages in previous generations sought to hide? These were things that weren't discussed. There's a pasuk that says, "Foid Melech Hester Dover." The glory of the king is that he hides his private things. So therefore, this is called the hidden part of the Torah. And if it's the hidden part of the Torah, then it's appropriate that it should stay hidden. That's what matches, that it should be hidden. So therefore, and that was the way that the early sages, the Rishonim, just hinted to these things. They never actually openly spoke about them. So why is it that he is writing about these things? So he answers because he sees that in his generation, where all sorts of youths, he speaks about youths who are empty of Torah, they know no Torah, but they're all studying Kabbalah. They're all studying, they're all going into higher spheres, and they're all speaking about lofty things. And they're all saying, this is Hashem, and that is Hashem, this is Hashem, the world's full of Hashem. They're all sprouting all this stuff without proper Torah knowledge, without a proper Torah background. And therefore, he feels he needs to put perspective, he needs to give a proper explanation, so that, in other words, that this shouldn't be Hefka. So therefore, there is an authoritative work, which is the Nefesh HaChaim, from someone who is an authority. He was a student of the Vilna Gaon, a very, very Choshev Rosh Hashiva, and that he would explain the whole matter. And therefore, if anyone wants to say something different, especially, we'll see there's a certain issue he's going to bring up now, especially that might be clashing with Halacha. Right? Because if everything's Hashem, then that's all Hashem. You know, you could even say, maybe I'm exaggerating, but you could even say, look, it's all Hashem, so the kosher food's from Hashem, and the trade food's also from Hashem. He brings a slightly less radical example, but we'll see what he says. But it's all Hashem, so what's the problem? It's all good, it's all from Hashem. Averus is also good, it's also from Hashem. In fact, there's a bit of a hint to that idea, because there's a brach we say every morning, and there's a Gemara to the effect. There's a Gemara that says in the future, in the world to come, when the Mashiach will come, then the Loch will switch over to Beis Shammai, and all sorts of things will become muta. I think the Gemara says even Chaza will become muta. It will become muta to eat Chaza. So there's a hint in one of the brochas we say every morning. We say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Matir Asurim. You release the bound. So that also means Hashem makes muta those things that are asur. Something that's forbidden is called Asur. Asur means bound up. Bound up means we're not allowed to touch it. And the idea, the deep idea behind that is that every element in the world has sparks of holiness in it, but certain things are so, the sparks are so hidden in it, and they're so tied up in it, so therefore we can't release those sparks, and therefore we'll only be damaged by those things. So therefore they become asur. They're bound up, they're not for us. But in the future, when we'll be on a high level, so then those things that were forbidden will become permitted. We'll be able to digest them, so to speak. We'll be able to extract the holiness from them. Even that which is presently, the holiness in it, the sparks in it is inaccessible, that in the future will become accessible to us. Hashem tells us certain things are permitted, certain things are forbidden. The Torah itself says this is permitted, this is forbidden. So the Torah forbids it. The question is, why does the Torah forbid it? So the Torah forbade eating chaza. So why did the Torah forbid it? So this is the explanation, that we're not on a level, this is like a deep explanation, we're not on a level to be able to use this. Everything is created with Hashem's holiness, with the sparks of Hashem's holiness. Hashem's the creator of all. But we're not on a level to extract the holiness from something like this. And therefore the Torah forbade it for us. The Torah said don't touch it. But it could be, in the future, that we'll be on a high level, that we will be able to extract the holiness even from something like that. So therefore, that's the idea behind Matir Asuri. But that's only according to the boundaries of our Chachamim. Right now, all of these things are forbidden, 100% forbidden. So let's go on in the text. Here we are in sort of at the end of chapter 3 of Shaar Gimel, where he warns about these fools. And I think the reference, the sort of the hidden reference here is to the Hasidim in their days, where they were, in order to encourage the Baal Shem Tov, in order to encourage his followers, so therefore, you know, they were balabatim. The Hasidim addressed the following issue, which was a problem, not a real problem. And the problem was that there was like a big gap forming in the Jewish people, because there were the Torah scholars who were sitting and learning, and then there were the regular balamatim who were working. They were working. They were the milkmen and the farmers and the day laborers and the shoemakers and the tailors, etc. And there was like a big path, and they were like feeling they were, you know, we're out of the Jewish people. So there was a worry that these Yidden would be lost. They don't feel any. They've got no shaykhs to turn. They don't know how to learn. It's very hard for them. It's very remote. The rabbis are, you know, the rabbis are way up there, and we're down here, and there's nothing for us. We have no access to learning. So that was one of the things that Baal Shem Tov did, was he sort of brought holiness to the masses. He said, no, you can, you know, you'll serve Hashem with simcha, and you'll come to the Rebbe's tish, and you'll drink a bit of vodka, and you'll be serving Hashem that way. You'll be serving Hashem with your davening, you'll be serving Hashem with saying Tehillim. And therefore he encouraged like the more common man, and Imamish saved a lot of people, and that was the founding of Chassidus, But one of the things that he also instituted was he sort of watered down or popularized Kabbalah. He made it available to simple people that they should feel that they're on a very elevated level, even though it was like simplified. So that's what we call Chassidism, right? That Chassidism is a lot of these teachings that are basically sort of Kabbalah made accessible to the regular person. And this is one of the things that they were worried about. We know, for instance, with Shabtai Tzvi, which goes back, further back than the Baal Shem Tov, that goes like 200 years earlier. So there he was very, very charismatic, and people were very into Kabbalah in those days. It became very, very popular. And he was able to sway the masses because, you know, he had this aura about him. You know, he was a mystic and he knew the secrets and he was able to reveal secrets to people, all sorts of things. But really he wasn't the Mashiach. And people sold their houses and they sold their businesses and they just packed up all their belongings and they off to Eretz Yisrael. Meanwhile, Eretz Yisrael was run by the Turks. And the Turks weren't interested in these Yidden coming along. And Shabtai Tzvi wasn't the Mashiach. And Shabtai Tzvi himself ended up converting to Muslim, to Islam. So the whole thing was a disaster. And one of the causes that was seen as being one of the reasons that this whole disaster fell on the Jewish people was the involvement in Kabbalah. So that was why the rabbis got extra strict about learning Kabbalah, that it can mislead people. People think they know what they're talking about, they know nothing, and they just mislead the masses with just fancy talk. So that was the fear. When Hasidism reared its head, so the Vilna Gaon was very, very scared of that. It's going to be another Shabtai Tzvi movement. And basically what they say is the Vilna Gaon saved Hasidism. Because he kept them from going too extreme. He kept them from, you know, since they wanted to say, no, we are legitimate. The Hasidim wanted to say, no, we are legitimate. We're legitimate Yidden. We keep Shulchan Aruch. We do the halachas. We learn halacha. We keep Shabbos properly. We do everything properly. We are legitimate. So therefore, he and his opposition basically kept them. They had to keep proving themselves that they're legitimate, and that sort of kept them in the boundaries. And he basically, that's what they said, the Vilna Gaon actually saved Hasidism. Because had it gone off the path, then they would have put the whole thing into excommunication, and these people would have been lost from Yiddishkeit. So that's just a little bit about background to what the Nefesh HaChaim is referring to. And this is the concern that they had in those days, and it's still a concern. I mean, people who know nothing say, you know, we'll study Kabbalah. You have study of Kabbalah is very popular in Tel Aviv. You have people, they keep note mitzvahs, they don't keep Shabbos, nothing, but they go to Kabbalah classes. They go study Kabbalah, right? They go without their kippahs, without their head covers, nothing, and they're studying Kabbalah, and there's some guy there, you know, somebody with some fancy talk, and you know, we study Kabbalah. It's ridiculous. They don't keep Shabbos, but they're studying Kabbalah. So this has always been a bit of an issue. You know, people think, now I'll get close to Hashem without Torah and mitzvahs, and that's Mamish Treif. So let's see how he says it here. Just this last paragraph here of chapter 3. The Kama Zihirus Yaseir Tzoich Odom Lizayah Bezeh. How many extra precautions a person has to take when he comes into this area. When he comes into this area of studying mystical material, you have to take precautions. And guard himself, guard his soul very carefully with a protection on protections. Extra protections. Because if, God forbid, if a person takes this thought too much to heart, that it's all Hashem, which is a true thought. Everything's Hashem. If a person just starts living this idea, everything is Hashem, So it's all from Hashem. So everything is kosher. Nahati latzmen isnai gam v'maisim v'fi machshavazu. And also to allow ourselves to conduct ourselves according to the thought. You know, this is a thought that you keep in your mind, but to actually translate that thought into action, that's what people are going to do. Hello, yuchal yivolid mizechas v'sholom harisas kam yosoidus ha-Torah. So it could lead to the destruction of a number of the fundamentals of Torah. Because a person says everything is Hashem, so he starts being mizalzel to your mitzvahs, and he doesn't keep the mitzvahs swapped, and we know that there have been issues like that. We know there have been issues like that. And that even today you have that a little bit. So therefore he will come, because of this, you know, because he's a mystic, and he's on a high level, and everything is Hashem, and Hashem fills the world, etc., etc., he'll come to destroy the foundations of the Torah, the fundamentals of the Torah. And in this way he gets trapped, he gets caught in the net, the trap of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara sees, oh, this guy's not doing this mitzvah, he's not doing that mitzvah. And he gets up for dubbing at 10 o'clock in the morning, and you know, because of his special kavanas, he thinks that's okay. So he's already allowing himself all sorts of coolers. The Yetzer Hara says, you know, why are you doing all these coolers? Why are you being lenient about this and this and this and this? So also do a few averas, you know. You'll do a few averas. Everything becomes... We have an example from the story of Lot, when Lot left Avram. Lot was unbelievable. Lot, when Avram was told, this one of the 10 tests was Avram was told, leave your homeland, your birthplace, and go to Eretz Yisrael. That was his test. So Avram packed up and left. So when Avram left, Lot, his nephew, he went along with him. Now Lot wasn't commanded. This was, right? He wasn't commanded. He did it on his own bet. He said, Avram is my Rebbe, and I'm following my Rebbe. Where my Rebbe goes, I'm going. And it was a very difficult thing. We know it was one of the tests of Avraham Avinu, so it was a difficult thing. We don't know exactly why it was so difficult, but it's one of the 10 tests. Leaving his homeland was one of his tests. And Lot was not commanded to do it. Yet he took on the same test as Avraham Avinu. He did something very, very difficult. Right? And also Avraham Avinu was given promises. Hashem said to Avraham, if you'll go to Eretz Israel, you'll get this bracha and this bracha, you'll have children and you'll have wealth and you'll have fame and everything will work out. But Lot never received any promises. Lot just followed along. So that was an amazing act of nobility. Mamish at Tzadik Lot. And Taki, he went along with Avram. And when Hashem made Avram rich, he also made Lot rich. Because Lot, Alechas Avram, Lot who accompanied Avram, also deserved. He did. He sacrificed for Yiddishkeit. Avram Avinu was his Rebbe, and he's also going to go there. So he also became rich. And they became so rich that one of the issues was, at least superficially, one of the issues was, that they had all of these herds, all of these flocks, and there wasn't enough pasturing ground. So there was a clash. So really there were other clashes underneath. There were almost religious issues that were under the surface. But basically, on the surface level, Avraham Avinu said, listen, your flocks and herds and my flocks and herds are too much. We can't possibly occupy the same area. We have to separate. So what should have Lot said at that point? Lot should have said, forget about the flocks and herds. I'm your student, I'm your Talmud, you're my Rebbe, I'm staying with you, I'm not leaving. That's what Lot should have said. He should have said, I'll just sell my flocks and herds. Well, I'll hefka them. I'll just make it free for all. I'm staying with you. He didn't say that. He said, yeah, but he said, well, you know, now I'm a wealthy man, I have to take care of my wealth. So in other words, he left Avraham Avinu rather to take care of his wealth. That was his concern. His concern was his own personal wealth. And therefore, he gave up on his Torah. He gave up on Avraham Avinu. He gave up on Hashem, basically, because, you know, he's a wealthy man. Avraham Avinu said, whichever direction you want, you take that direction, I'll take the other. And Lot already looked towards the Jordan Valley, which was rich and fertile, lots of green grass, nice, good for herds and cattle, right, and for flocks. He says, he'll take that. But what happened when he went in that direction, he started going towards Sdom. Now, Sdom was an immoral place. With an adulterous, immoral behavior, licentious behavior. Sdom was a lowly place. Once he left Avram, and once he already allowed himself to separate from being underneath Avram's guidance, so then he also allowed himself to move into Sdom as well. And they moved into Sdom, and they made him one of their judges. So he sort of got popular, he got into with the crowd. He got in with the crowd, the in crowd, Sdom crowd. They accepted him to the crowd, they made him a judge. That's a sign of acceptance. and he got in with them, and Mami, she was almost totally destroyed. When Sodom was totally destroyed because it was a totally immoral place, Hashem destroyed the whole town. Just in the schus of Avram, in the by the skin of his teeth, as they say, that's why Lot was saved. But he really, he almost didn't deserve to be saved. And that's a Ben Terah. Lot was a Mamish of Ben Terah, who was made a sacrifice, who gave it all up the minute the test of wealth came. And once that, once he moved a little bit away, it went from bad to worse to worse to worse. So that's what we're worried about. A person starts being lenient about the fundamentals of keeping halacha, keeping the Torah, so then he can lose his old Yiddishkeit. And that's what he's worried about. Right? That's what he says. If Nakal Yuchal Ilakeid Hasoshon Reshus Hayetzah, person can very easily be trapped in his Yetzahara, because your person has a Yetzahara and all sorts of things are appealing to him. Things that are forbidden are appealing to him. That's all of us. There are certain things which we know are forbidden, but which do appeal to us. You know, we look at them a little bit with a little bit of lust. You know, some things that we do, we would like. You know, it would actually be quite nice to X, Y, Z, right? To do this and this and this. You know, we are tempted. So therefore, once a person allows himself certain leniencies, he can mamish be caught up. So he can go and permit himself things because he's already permitted because of this new area that he's moved into. Right? He thinks he's a mystic and he thinks he's holy, and therefore he can do this and he can do that. Derech Moshe. Now listen to his analogy. This is the analogy that the Nefesh HaChaim brings. Right? I gave you the analogy, which is like a more exaggerated analogy. Right? You'll say also, you know, unkosher food is also kosher. It's also all from Hashem. That's exaggerated. That most Yidden wouldn't do that. A Yid is brought up in a Jewish home, won't say, well, look, since I'm studying Kabbalah, I can eat chazer. That was an exaggerated example. Listen to his example, which is something that could very well be, could very well happen. Derech Moshe, what's his example? Lahare b'divrei Torah, a person will allow himself to think Torah words. Remember, we're speaking about someone who keeps Torah mitzvahs. We're speaking about someone who learns Torah. They'll allow himself to think the words of Torah, b'shat nefesh, but consciously and brazenly, even in filthy places. So therefore, we're not allowed to think about Torah when you are in a toilet. Are you not allowed to think Torah if you're in an alleyway where might be feces there? People in the old days used to use the alleyways as toilets, right? There's no plumbing. So therefore, this person might go and say, since the world is filled with Hashem, so I can think Torah everywhere. Thinking Torah is sure, that's the highest thing I can do. So he'll allow himself to think Torah even in forbidden places. Since everything is all Hashem, the whole world is Hashem, so therefore he's going to think Torah wherever it suits him. Right? When our sages went and emphasized this very greatly. They said that a person who shames the Torah by learning Torah in an unclean place, so therefore they said about such a person, he has no share in the world to come. The Chazal came down hard on this, or harsh on this. This maybe doesn't seem to be so much an issue for us, but it's an issue. A person allows himself to think Torah wherever. So therefore they came down like a ton of bricks on this, and they said a person who does this has no share in the world to come. Rachman al-Latzlan, Hashem should save it. Because this falls into the category Ki Dvar Hashem Vaza, which is a pasuk in the Torah. It says if you scorn the word of Hashem, someone who scorns the word of Hashem is Torah. Someone who scorns the word of Hashem, Dvar Hashem Vaza, he scorns the word of Hashem. So therefore, Hugam Ken, so that includes, what's called scorning the word of Hashem, included in that, there's a few things included in that, but one of the things included in that prohibition of scorning the word of Hashem, is that he's learning Torah in filthy alleyways, in filthy places. And then automatically the end of that pasuk clicks in and applies. It says about the person, the one who scorns the word of Hashem, he will be cut off. He will be cut off from the Jewish people. He will be cut off from the world to come. He will be destroyed in the world to come. Chorus. So therefore, that's included. Upashu chazal bepeg chelek. He chorus b'ilam azet. He chorus l'ilam abo. Why is it doesn't say he chorus? He chorus a double language. He'll be cut off. What does it mean? Cut off. So chazal said means cut off in this world and cut off in the next world. V'oid kamatoy sheyichol etzeis chasusholim ayanik b'hanhoga b'maisal pizia derech. And also other errors a person can make if he starts fixing his actions based on, you know, everything's Hashem. So now he doesn't need the Shulchan Aruch anymore, he doesn't need the Mishnah Berurah anymore, he doesn't need to study Halacha, because all, everything's Hashem, and he can use his own Seichel, what's, you know, it's all Hashem, so this is okay, and this is okay. So that's the example, and that's the worry that he had. And that's why he's written this book. And that's why I entered this subject. That's why I wrote this work. In order to warn people and to distant people from any type of error that can be born because of this. And also to understand clearly what our sages have said by this. Right, these are like all the ways of Hashem, which are straight. We have to follow the Torah. We have to live by the Shulchan Aruch. We have to live a Torah lifestyle. Halacha is our halacha means walking. Halacha is what is our path. Halacha is our path to the world to come. Halacha is what keeps us Jewish. If a person gives up halacha, this is okay and this is okay, and then that's it. He loses everything. So therefore, he has to warn. Right, with all of this mystical stuff, we have to be sticking to the law. We have to go in the straight way of Hashem. We're still going to explain it more deeply, exactly why that's so important. We're still going to get onto that, Mitzvah Hashem. The Eis Lasus, when there's a time to do, as the Pasuk in Tehillim, this is Eis Lasus Lashem, when there's a time to do for Hashem, you're even allowed to ignore certain mitzvahs. So the reference here is that since it's the time to do for Hashem, by writing this work and by putting a clear perspective, by telling people what's right and what's wrong, so therefore he took on himself to write this work, even though previous Rabbanim didn't speak about these subjects. He spoke about these subjects to make it clear that people should know this is in and this is out, this is permitted and this is forbidden. This is what mystical study is about, and it's got nothing to do with tempering with Allah. We can't temper with Allah. Okay, so now let's start chapter 4, Perek Dalet. Ulhashev Adova al Machoina. Now, in order to get this into its proper place, to get the proper perspective on the whole thing, Nevaya Maimikadishim Rabbein Sein Zichin Ruch. I want to explain something very holy teaching. Shemavua Be'etz Chaim. The Etz Chaim, it's Reb Chaim Vital's great classic work, explains. The Kuach Me'atikunim become Mkoimus, and Etz Chaim itself takes it from another places in the Zohar. Shehu Yisboch Shmoy. And we're going to explain now another big issue, important issue, very interesting issue, as follows. Shehu Yisboch Shmoy Memale Kol Almin B'Hashvo Gmura. The principle is as follows, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills all worlds totally equally. Now Hashem's presence, so to speak, fills all of the worlds, all of reality, from the highest of worlds to the lowest of worlds. Hashem's presence penetrates everything, and with total equality. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. Just like the air fills all of our space, all space in this world is filled with air. So therefore, right? So therefore, Hashem's presence, so to speak, fills the entire reality. Hashem is everywhere. Now, that teaching seemingly clashes with another teaching. Let's go and read it. We find, in terms of when we speak about upper worlds, that each world is distinct and different from the other worlds in different categories, in different aspects. You have higher worlds and you have other worlds that are even higher than them, and they have qualitative difference. You have a higher world and you have a higher world. And there's a big difference between the high world and the higher world. So therefore we have different worlds. Meaning is Chabrusa Yisborch Aleihem, in terms of how can one world be higher than the other, in terms of Hashem's attachment to them. So we speak about worlds where Hashem is more attached to these worlds and he's less attached to these worlds. Kamosha Kosu Bakdomas Tikunim. It says in the introduction to the Tikunim, also from the Zohar, the Esosphere is Datsilus Malka Bohoin. Right? That concerning the 10 spheres of Atzilus. Atzilus is the highest of worlds. We've got the four worlds, the four spiritual worlds. Right? Asiya, Yetziya, Bria, Atzilus. Atzilus is the highest of them. And Atzilus, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the king over Atzilus. Iu v'gam echad b'hon. Right? He and himself is one. Kodesh Baruch is one with the world Atzilus. He's totally in the world of Atzilus. He's totally part of the world of Atzilus. Mat lavoch ibeses spheres de Bria, which is not the case when it comes to the 10 spheres of Bria, which is the next world. highest world is Atzilus. The second highest world is the world of Bria. And that's not true in terms of the world of Bria. The love inun iyuchad. We don't say that the world of Bria and Hashem is all one. In the world of Atzilus, we say Hashem and the world is all one. And as he's totally a part of that world. That world of Atzilus is the highest possible world, and it's like it's purely Hashem. Whereas lower worlds is not Hashem so much. So we see what we're heading here. We're saying, like, in this world, Hashem is more there. And the world lower than that, Hashem is less there. And the world lower than that is even less there. Less there, less there, less there. But that contradicts what we just said before. We just said that Hashem fills all reality with totally equally. So we've got this contradiction. You see that? We've got Namisha contradiction. Either Hashem fills everything equally, or no. In this world, he's more revealed. In this world, he's less revealed. He's more attached to this world. He's less attached to that world. This is a high world. Hashem is more there. This is a low world. Hashem is less there. So this is a contradiction. What do we do with this contradiction? Hashem is everywhere equally, or Hashem is more in one world than in another world. Hashem is more attached to one world than another world. How do we resolve that contradiction? That's what we're going to deal with now. And he's going to bring us other indications that we have this idea that Hashem is more in one place and less in another. Ein be'etz chaim, next paragraph, Ein be'etz chaim sharat hishtalshlus. Also from the Etz Chaim, when it speaks about Shtalshulus is one of the link affairs. There's a sort of a linkage between different worlds. High worlds and lower worlds are linked to each other. So Hayut Sphiris Bereish say that Silus Bikits a Kosov Shain Soif Boruchu, Khinis his Labshus says Pashtus of Holoilomas. When it comes to Hashem, in terms of his clothing himself and spreading himself throughout the worlds, Ainun no Gavadovik, when it comes to Kodesh Bohu spreading his presence through the world, he doesn't actually touch the worlds. He doesn't actually cling to the world. So Lossi Boilam Atzilus, with the exception of the world of Atzilus. The highest world, we said before, is the world of Atzilus. Besides the world of Atzilus, Hashem actually never actually fully enters the other worlds. He doesn't touch them. He doesn't actually connect with them as he does with Atzilus. Lo b'briya yetzir v'asir. Not the world of Briya, not the world of Yetzir, not the world of Asir. There, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't actually touch on those worlds. L'chem yisham l'mata yishtane muhusam. That's why those worlds are different. But Hashem is less in them. My world, Hashem is more there. The lower world, Hashem is less there. B'sham also, another source there. B'shar Drushe, Atzilus Bria Yetzir Asi, Abia. Abia is the mnemonic for those four worlds. Is Abia. Abia stands for Atzilus Bria Yetzir Asi. B'feresh Maim Atikuni Manal. Also there it's explained. Kosov Shatzilus Kuloi. That the world of Atzilus, all of the world of Atzilus, Gam Bechinus HaKelim. Even the different utensils of the world of Atzilus, the different items within the world of Atzilus, Nikra Elakus Gom, it's all called godliness. The world of Atzilus, so to speak, is totally composed of godliness. Whatever's in the world of Atzilus is all godly. That's what it says. Masha Ein Ken Bebriya Yetziyaseh, which is not true with the lower worlds. The lower worlds, are the items of those worlds are not as godly. They're not mamish godly. Ein Sham. So again, we see that there's difference between different worlds. V'chein Mavu Hashem Achiluk. Also, other differences are brought between the highest world, Atzilus, and the other three worlds. In Elokus, in terms of the godliness in those worlds, Ein Sham Bereish Shatz Yerilomim, and he brings a whole lot of sources. If you want to check it up, you want to research it, so you'll see that they emphasize this again and again that each world is different. He just brings the sources here: Shatz Yerilomim Avia, Akdomus Harem Chaim Vital, Veshai Shtalshlus. Hayutzfirs Perik Gimel, different sources of Shah Tzelem, Perik Aleph, Shah Shemus, Perik Aleph, Shah Seda Abia, Perik Beis, Reish Perik Gimel. Kiyotze Kamechi Luke Bechinas in Yonim Shoinim Ben Oilomas, that there are a number of distinctions between higher worlds and lower worlds. Prate Pratim, details on details. Here it's like this, and here it's like that, and here this happens, and here that happens, with differences and differences. Hamavua Bechol HaZoya B'Divrei HaAriza. Okay. So therefore, this is our problem, because we have all of these distinctions between these worlds. So seemingly Hashem is not equally in all places, like we said before. Ein Hater v'Soif Sefer Abba Moes Shekel Kesev, also one of the holy Sfarim, which is called Abba Moes Shekel Kesev. V'inin Yedi Osi is Volk Shmoy. Mikoidem Maise Odom. Right? There, that work speaks about how Hashem knows everything that's going to happen. He knows the future. And there, Shechilek Arizal Bezeh Bein Oilomas. There also, Arizal speaks about differences in different worlds. But yourself, Kenshem, it's in the Kamami Kroos. We even, and then moreover, more than this, we actually have verses in the Torah which indicate that Hashem is more in one place than another. These are psukim in the Torah. Kemo, Keil Elyon, right? When we speak about in the right, Hashem Keil Elyon, this is right in the Bereishis, in the Chumash. So Hashem is called Keil Elyon, the Hashem who is above. What, he's above and not below? He's over there and he's not over here. Yet that's what the Chumash called him. He says Hashem Keil Elyon, the God on above, the God above. The God above, as if he's there and he's not here. That's a pasuk. Or here from Tehillim, this is on the Tehillim, we say Mamish very often, Yoshev v'shamayim, the one who dwells in the heavens. Yoshev v'shamayim, what, he dwells in the heavens, he doesn't dwell here. You know, that's where he lives, and he doesn't live here amongst us. But that's a pasuk in Tehillim, Yoshev v'shamayim. So again, it seems to be from all of these sources, he's more there and he's less here. Ashil mole mikra kosuk, if this wasn't a pasuk, Yev shalom, and this is things we wouldn't dare to say ourselves, to say Hashem is there and he's not here. It's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Chumash, it's a pasuk in Tehillim. What can we do? V'chein manu rezal esa kedushas. And also, Chazal also speak of 10 different levels of kedushas. If you look in the Gemara, there are different levels of holiness. So therefore, this is more holy, this is less holy. So what, here Hashem is more, here Hashem is less. Chazal themselves point to different levels of holiness. V'gimel machanois, mekudosh zulam alam, so the three camps. In the desert, there was the camp of the Shechina, then there was the camp of the Levim, and then there was the camp of Israel. Three different levels of Kedusha. Here it's more Kaddish, here it's less Kaddish. The Beis HaMikdash is more Kaddish. You can't go in if you're Tomei, but outside the Beis HaMikdash is just regular. It's just, you know, it's Machane Yehuda there, you know. It's just, you know, there's the coffee shops there and the pizza shops. But, you know, so they're different places. Here's a holy place, here's a less holy place. So therefore, again, this is a reality we live in. Okay, so what do we do with the contradiction? We've got this contradiction. On the one hand, we say Hashem fills all of reality equally. There's no way that Hashem is not equally there. And on the other hand, we're saying that no, there's some places where he's more, it's holier places, and some places where he's less. How do we resolve this contradiction? The truth is as follows. Now just listen carefully, he says, pay attention, take it to heart, and it'll make perfect sense. And we'll walk confidently through these concepts. Everything will fall into place perfectly. The puzzle's going to work out very, very neatly and smoothly, and everything's fine. Don't worry. What seems to be a contradiction is not a contradiction at all. Just follow me. That's what he says. Kimavua bekama mekoyimus mezoya. Now it's explained a number of places in the Zohar. Sha'adun yochid ain't seif baruchu. Kodesh Bohu, he is endless. Who the ultimate Kodesh Bohu is called Ein Sof. He is the endless one. Memale kol almin, v'soyvev kol almin. These are terms that you find in the Holy Spirit. We speak about Hashem as being the one who fills the world and the one who he orbits the worlds. Right? We have two terms. We speak of Hashem as filling the worlds, and then we speak of Hashem as soyviv kol almin, which means literally he goes around the world. In other words, he orbits the world, so to speak. He hovers around the world. He does like the satellite goes around and around the earth. So therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, surrounds the world. He goes around the world. So that's one. Those are the two terms we have. Right? He fills the world. That's one term, and the other term is that he orbits the worlds. V'hainu. So how do we resolve this? Is it he fills the worlds, or is it he orbits the worlds? Make up your mind. Both terms appear in the same, the Holy Spirit. Behind, and here's the explanation. We're going to still elaborate more on this, but this is, in short, this is the answer. Shemitzida yizborach nikra b'bechinas memalekum. In terms of Hashem, if you look at it from Hashem's perspective, Hashem fills all the worlds. Right? Umitzidein, however, from our perspective, Hashem is hidden. We don't see Hashem. From Hashem's perspective, he fills everything. He's everywhere, and he fills everything. He's Mamale Kol Almi, who fills all the worlds. But from our perspective, Mitzidein Kasheh Nitzdavina B'Torah Kedusha, as the Torah commands us, from our perspective, Inin Hanogoy Sein, in the way we have to conduct ourselves with Torah Mitzvahs, in terms of Torah Mitzvahs, Kafiyah Sakeh Sein B'Chush, and as our real senses, we don't sense Hashem everywhere. You don't feel Hashem. You walk into a room, you say, you don't feel Hashem's in this room. You don't really feel it. This is a cup of coffee. This is my breakfast. This is my toast and a slice of cheese. This is not Hashem. Right? In terms of the way we perceive the world, we don't see Hashem everywhere. So in terms of our perspective, we see Hashem as orbiting the world. We see Hashem as being up there in heavens looking down on us. We see Hashem kilu surrounding us from outside. He hovers over us. He orbits the world, but he's not mamish in our world. So that's from our perspective. From our perspective, Hashem is on the outside looking in. From the outside, he's managing everything, but from outside, he's got this remote control that he runs everything with his remote control. But he's way out there in the control center. Hashem's in his control center, and he's running things from there. He's not here. So that's in terms of our perspective, and in terms of that, we say Hashem orbits the world, and not that he fills the world. And to say that Hashem fills the world, that is something that's not within our grasp. So really, this is the resolution of this contradiction. Right? In terms of Hashem fills all reality, and that is from his perspective, that he's everywhere. There's nothing that he's not. There's no place that he's not. And he's in all places equally. He fills the whole of reality. But from our perspective, there are holy places and less holy places. There are higher places and there are lower places. And that's from our perspective. And that's our reality. And that's our perception. And that's what we have to live with, that Hashem orbits, Hashem looks on us, he looks on us from above. Right? He's video camering us, he's taking films of us, movies of us all the time, he's watching us, he's got listening devices, he's got hidden cameras watching us. But he's over there, he's up there, he's apart from us, he's just orbiting the world, but he's not mamish in the world. That's from our perspective, and that's the reality we have to live with. And those are so when we spoke about higher worlds and lower worlds, it's also from our perspective. From Hashem's perspective, everything is one. Okay, well, please God, we'll go on with this in the next class.